I'm going to stand before you and say, I have been feeling guilty lately. All ready for some terrible... The reason I've been feeling guilty is it seems to me, and I talked to Michelle a bit about this, it seems to me that my most recent bulletin articles and my sermons have been a bit dark. I mean, not dark as in Mordor type of dark, but they've been less than positive. You know, for instance, one of my recent talks afterwards on Facebook, a young man's mother told me it scared him. And even though she said afterward it was good to be scared, and she was probably right, I mean, it's important stuff. It was good that he was scared. I suspect that what's happening is the frightening conditions that I sense right now in our nation and in the world are making me focus on the negative, because that's the news, right? I respond to the news, and I do think that I'm not an expository preacher, I'm a topical preacher, and I try to preach on topics that speak to things that are happening right then. And I think what's happening is that it's causing me to focus on the negative, and I think that that's not optimal, given that the gospel and the God that it speaks of, the gospel and the God that it speaks of, are so overwhelmingly positive. Amen. That is, my messages have been clouds on a sunny day. But not today. Today I promise to do two things. Number one, promised to have you leave feeling better than when you arrived. Okay? Unless you're some miserable person. I'm just going to do my darndest. Second, to keep this sermon short. Now see, you probably already feel better based on that second one, right?
No, we like it wrong.
However, I'm afraid, before we go positive, I want to ask you, am I alone in being worried about things that are going on in our nation and the world? Am I alone?
No.
If you didn't hear that on the internet,
no.
Do you look around you on the TV, on the internet, and kind of wonder if the inmates have taken over the asylum? Yeah. I got agreement on that too on the internet, in case you didn't catch that out. Or if Satan has finally gotten the upper hand and hell on earth has been spawned, that this really is the beginning of the end. Do you feel like you are busting a hump to live a godly life only to see that those who are doing exactly the opposite are faring better than you? Do you feel that way, at least sometimes?
Yes.
Try hard? I'm getting positive on that. I'll have to have a mic for the audience next time. Does it seem, at least sometimes, that all your efforts are in vain? Does me bringing this up bring your spirits down a little bit? Yep. Then remember, I promise to keep the sermon short. Does that bring your spirits back up? There you go. Well, if it does seem to you that bad people get off scot-free, then you can relate to these words that we are going to look together at in Jeremiah. Let's turn to Jeremiah 12, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 3. Jeremiah 12, verses 1 through 3. And this is towards the end of Israel, not Israel as a northern, but another part of it, I suppose, being exact. This is the end of Judah, right? Towards the end. Jeremiah 12, verses 1 through 3. And he was looking at a nation, by the way, that also had progressively deteriorated. Is he not?
Right.
So I think we can feel together his words. When he says, Jeremiah 12, 1 through 3, righteous are you, O Lord, when I complain to you, yet I would plead my case before you. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all who are treacherous thrive? You plant them, they take root, they grow and they produce fruit. You are near in their mouth and far from their heart. But you, O Lord, know me. You see me and test my heart towards you. Pull them out like sheep for slaughter and set them apart for the day of slaughter. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Have you ever asked yourself that question? You know, Habakkuk, further, and we won't make you turn there, partially because I'll have to look at my index and I'll be embarrassed when I have to do that. He further couldn't understand how such a righteous God, could actually put up with all of it. And he wrote, and this is Habakkuk 1:13, "You who are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong, why do you idly look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he?" Short version, God, if you can't stand it, why do you put up with it? If you can't stand it, Lord, why do you put up with it? Now, both of those, I think, at least in some part, are able to express our emotions. But I do think that Psalms, all those books and Psalms, or the books of Psalms, all those Psalms and Psalms, are often best communicating our emotions and feelings, regardless of what they are, happy, sad, angry. And don't worry, Winslow, we will be heading over to your requested psalm per your Dunkin' Donuts coffee-induced request at T-Bird yesterday. But first, I want to spend a little time in Psalm 73, so let's turn there. See, and Psalm's a good one because it's easy to find that, isn't it? There's so many different psalms. It's in the middle of the Bible. Psalm 73, and we are going to look at verses 3 through 14. 73, 3 through 14. Are we there? Was I right? Was it easy to find? Good. 73, 3 through 14. "For I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For they have no pangs until death. Their bodies are fat and sleek. They are not in trouble as others are. They are not stricken like the rest of mankind. Therefore pride is their necklace. Violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes swell out through fatness. Their hearts overflow with follies. They scoff and speak with malice. Loftily they threaten oppression. They set their mouths against the heavens, and their tongue struts through the earth. Therefore his people turn back to them and find no fault in them. And they say, 'How can God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the wicked. Always at ease, they increase in riches. All in vain. All in vain have I kept my heart clean and washed my hands of innocence.'" I don't know about you, but I think Asaph, is that how you pronounce it? A-S-A-P-H? Asaph? I think Asaph has it down here. Now, I have to admit that I've been pretty lucky in not experiencing being stricken and rebuked every morning. I mean, I've had bad days, but I don't have that kind of day. But when I see all the people who have gotten the short end of the stick versus the criminals and politicians, but I repeat myself, not only getting away with their evil behavior, but benefiting from it, and, on top of it, being rewarded for it. When I see all that, it can seem like all is in vain. It has been in vain that I've kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence. Do you ever feel that way? Why have I done this? Why am I doing this? Of course, Asaph, being inspired by the Spirit, didn't leave it just as that. If you go on to verse 16, he says, "But when I thought about how to understand this," when I actually spent a little time thinking about it, "when I thought about how to understand this, it seemed to be a wearisome task until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I discerned their end. Truly, you set them in slippery places. You make them fall to ruin. How they are destroyed in a moment, swept away and utterly swept away utterly by terrors. Paraphrase, as I don't trip over my tongue. Then I smartened up and realized it doesn't work out so well for them in the end. Now, I'm afraid that even pointing that out, Asaph is focusing on the negative aspects, that they'll get theirs, right? And I said this was going to be a positive sermon. David's Psalm 37, starts us moving in the right direction. So let's turn to David's Psalm 37. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 7. See, I'm going to do it from now on. Maybe I'll even cross it out in my Bible here. 37, 1 through 7. Are we there? Fret not yourselves because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as noonday. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. And even though in those words he does point out still that the wicked are ultimately going to get a bad ending, those verses actually focus more on what you should do. Don't fret. Don't be envious. Trust in the Lord. I like this one. Well, do good. I like that one too. But I like the next one. Befriend faithfulness. Isn't that nice? Befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. And you know what? He will. Doesn't say might. He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light. He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, those are positive promises, aren't they? Thank you, Winslow. But even with such great promises, it can be hard to, day after day, to do what is right, only to see those who do the opposite do so well. Now let's look at some encouraging words from another writer, the writer of Hebrews. Let's turn to Hebrews 10. We're going to look at verses 32 through 39. Hebrews 10, 32 through 39. I was actually going to do initially a smaller part, but as I looked at the words, it was like, I got to keep expanding. I don't want to leave that out. You're just lucky we're not going to have to read the whole book of Hebrews here. Are we there? 10, 32 through 39? But recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings. Sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you, listen to this, this kind of sound really odd to you, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For, and you probably have in your Bibles where this is really verse here, right? For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But, listen to these words. You can say, oh, that's negative. But we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and persevere their souls. No matter what has happened to you, no matter how good the wicked seem to do, you have a better possession.
Amen.
Amen, right. Your possession is abiding. Your translation might have had different words like enduring or permanent. Being, how many people have seen an old Camaro falling apart on the street? I bet you it was really nice when it was first bought. That's not your possession. Your possession is abiding. It is enduring. It is permanent. And you are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but are of those who have faith and persevere their souls. Now, isn't that positive news? Yes, I know it can seem, and you'll notice I have a whole bunch of O's on the so. It can seem so overwhelming trying to live for the Lord with so much temptation. But just like Frank Sinatra encourages people to have high hopes. And kids, if you haven't heard that song, I feel for you. I mean, it wasn't technically my generation. But, you know, high, what kind of hopes? High apple pie in the... I encourage you to keep persevering no matter how futile it may seem to you. Or do you forget the ant? Do you forget the ant? See, my wife's looking at me saying, is he really going to try to sing this? You know, the ant that was sure he could move the rubber tree plant? How's it go? Can you help me, love? Just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant. Now we won't sing from there. That's right. But he's got high hopes. And how does the song at that section end? Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant. I mean, I'd say, yes, keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on the prize, because that, in many respects, will make it easy to see how the stuff that you have to put up with is so worth it. But going back to the high hopes, you're the ant. What you're fighting against is that rubber tree. Even though it may seem near impossible, you can do it. But not you, God in you. And we know with man, many things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
That's Mark, well, it's multiple places. But take a look at Mark 10, 26 through 28 for that. He is able to strengthen you. That's Romans 16, 25. Is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think.
Amen.
That's Ephesians 3:20. And is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. Amen. And that's Jude, who, by the way, is considered kind of a negative book, isn't it? But that's positive from Jude. If you hang in there, if you let God strengthen you to do far more abundantly than you ask or expect, to keep you from stumbling, then you will be able to speak the same words as did Paul as his life wrapped up. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. To all. And there's a reason I'm opening my arms at you guys. God's got your back. God's got a prize waiting for you. There'll come a day. He will be appearing. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of a command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, then we, to me. Do that arm thing again. Then we, who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Are you encouraged? You should be. If you're not, you're one of those miserable people I said I couldn't make happy anyway. And you should be encouraged and happy, and not because my sermon's now almost over, but because God keeps his promises.
Amen.
He promised he's got your back. He promised he's got a prize waiting for you. And he promised he's coming back to take you to it, to him. And that is positive news.